Hello, this is the Anfield Wraps Big Match. I'm Gareth Robertson. I'm joined today by Neil Atkinson, Sean Walsh, Dan Austin, and we've got a couple of latecomers who aren't here yet, but they'll climb
kick-off
up.
Time.
They've missed the kickoff. They'll climb up the steps of the cop soon, Neil Dochan and Anna Walsh. But yeah, today, if you want to get involved in Big Match, if you don't know what it is, because we know we get new subscribers all the time, the idea with Big Match is we watch a classic game, basically, and we have a bit of a chat as it's taking place in front of us. Some people have told us before that they like to sort of join in on this one, get the match up themselves, sit there with a brew and watch it and listen to us, you know, talk away about it. So if you want to do that, the match we're doing today is Liverpool 9 and Crystal Palace 0 from the 12th of September 1989.
It's on YouTube, isn't it?
And it's on YouTube. It's in fact on our YouTube, on the Anfield Wraps very own YouTube channel. So if you look it up on there, it's on there, and we've all got our computers queued up at 12 seconds in, and we're all looking at a graphic at the moment that says World Sports. So if you want to get ready, get that prepared, maybe pause this, go away, get everything ready, get a brew, come back, and then we're gonna all hit play. Are we all ready around the table?
Yeah.
Right, let's hit play, and this should all work. I've got to say that this is one of the more random Anfield Wrap shows, just because it all feels a bit edgy with the technology and all the rest of it.
There's Dr. Fun.
Feels like loads could go wrong. Yeah, so straight away we're hit by Lenny and the crowd there in the old cop. Dr. Fun with Liverpool Charlie, his little puppet that he took along to the game. Lenny, a good heightened lad, used to teach swimming at Heighton Leisure Centre. Got loads of fucking useless information, me, haven't I? So there you go. Sean, I want to start with you on this, mate, while we're watching the team come up here. How old were you in 1989, mate?
I wasn't even thought of in 1989. I was born in 95. My first game was Boxing Day 2003, so 13 years after this. So it should be fun. I'm looking forward to Barnes' shorts. That's my main thing.
What about you, Dan? How old were you then?
-5.
-5.
I also was but a sperm cell.
And has either of you actually watched this game at any point before, or is this a whole new experience for you?
I've had it on my memory stick for this, and I've been under strict instructions not to go near it.
That's right. That's right. Is right, so that's quite right. So here we are, you might notice already.
Glenn Hussein.
Look at that, there's a back pass for you there, lads.
I can't believe that was ever allowed, you know. It looks so mad when you lived in a world where it's always like completely banned. And it's just so lax, like you see them sometimes hitting it back from 30 yards and you think, how did they ever let that happen?
That's how you kill a game, innit?
Look at Barnsley, lads. Look at Barnsley. Still Barnes driving into the box. Oh. But yeah, the back pass was mad. Manx still go on about, actually, as one of their theories, like, you know, why we've waited so long to win the league title since 1990, is because the back pass is banned, and they said that's how we just won it. And it's like, I think we still had to score goals and win matches there, lads, to be honest.
It's not like your lads couldn't pass back as well. Yeah.
It's a bit of a few holes in that theory, I've got to be honest.
Lawrenson was the master of the back pass, wasn't he?
He did love one, yeah. He did love a back pass.
Nicol. Sending it up into the box, putting some air underneath it. Glenn Hussein's playing in this, lads. Glenn Hussein came to Liverpool. Liverpool could have bought Glenn Hussein or Gary Pallister, and they chose to buy Glenn Hussein. They had the pick. They chose to buy Glenn Hussein. He had one very good season, and then he had one season where he looked like all of his 32 years had come at once, and he really, really struggled.
United wanted him as well, though.
Yeah, United, exactly.
Like, we beat United to his signature, and they got Pallister.
I think he was somewhere in Italy. I think he might have been at Lazio or someone like that at the time.
Yeah, I know most of the players in this lineup, but I couldn't even pick him out of a lineup.
Glenn Hussein.
Is Anna Walsh?
Is Anna Walsh? She's arrived.
Just got to the top of the cop there. The green pitch opening up in front of her. And she's going to watch on Dan Austin's screen here. That mic's already all done and dusted for you. Take a seat on the cop. There was no seats then. Gillespie there, showing you a bit of Gillespie-ness there, by the way. He was good at bringing a forward, Gillespie. Good defender. Yeah, very underrated. I think he was just, you know, we had a lot of, look at Beardsley skinning people there. We had a lot of good players around the time. Gillespie's a little bit lost in it all, but he was a good defender, Gillespie.
So this is 1990, yeah?
1989.
Liverpool win the league this year?
Yeah, 89-90.
So obviously haven't won it since. Was there a feeling then of this could be it? Or was it not Liverpool and we're going to win it forever?
The second one.
Yeah. There was of the two options, mate. Number two.
I mean, I think there was a little bit of, you know, people older than me say this as well, that we got a bit blasé about it all. But But there was definitely no feeling that it was coming to an end. And by the way, lovely on purpose foul from Hansen there.
Yeah, just couldn't be bothered dealing with that, could he?
Yeah, he just decided he was going to take him down there. Palace were half decent, by the way. You know, like you look at it and you go, oh, well, they tonked them 9-0, so they must be shite.
The team are decent. I'd look at it earlier.
Right and right up front. And we were linked with Wright at the time as well, quite heavily.
As well.
Yeah.
He was decent.
Alan Pardew's in there.
Where did Pardew play?
The back, wasn't he?
The back, but he's wearing number 11 on this. Yeah. Barnes, look at Barnes.
Look at Barnes.
Oh, Rush. He's a back. Nickel. It's there.
Look at that.
Not that I knew that was coming.
Lovely that, isn't it? It's a lovely finish from Steve Nichol. Another very underrated player.
Liverpool 1-0 up, and it's been all Liverpool, what we've seen so far. It's been absolutely all Liverpool. Steve Nichol trotting back to the halfway. And I think he's playing right mid in this game, Nichol, because Burrows is playing, so he's presumably playing left back. It's a lovely ball from Ronnie Whelan, that, by the way.
I like the way he just lifts it in the corner. See you later. 1-0 the Reds.
Glenison came from Fiorentina, and he tells me Fiorentina is where we got him from. I knew it was an Italian side.
What do you think so far there, Don?
Gillespie wearing 8.
I reckon Liverpool might win this game. You know? Started well, haven't he? If it doesn't tail off, they should hold on.
There's something brilliant, by the way, about Dalglish's numbering was mental. Like, this is obviously pre-squad numbers, but like Gary Gillespie, who's a centre-half, is playing right-back and he's wearing 8.
And that's a sin. Glenn Johnson gets ripped for that now, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Stoke.
He's wearing 8. But Kenny used to do things like this all the time. Lads would end up wearing wacky numbers for ages, because I think what he used to think was he didn't want to shift the number if they'd won. So if Gillespie's come in for someone and they've been playing a lot at the back and he shifted it around. So what probably happened in the previous game was Nichol, who's wearing 4, went to right back. Whoever's Hampton or someone will have been 8 and will have played in front. Hampton's injured, so he's decided to move Nichol forward, drop Gillespie in. But Nichol's defo going to wear 4, Hansen's defo going to wear 6.
Shift ball, that
so on and so forth until we get to the fact that Gillespie therefore has got to wear 8.
So in a way, this is like the beginning of registered squad numbers. In
Kenny's head, but he was doing it from about 85 when he used to just make changes, and he used to just basically, you get what it was almost as literal as if you were taking someone's shirt, you were taking their shirt.
So that by Rushy, classic Rushy.
Lovely from Rushy. Nichol, no. Got the better
Nichol,
of
Nichol, yes.
Oh, I'll tell you what, lads.
Pen. Hey.
Pen.
That's a pen in 2016.
Cheers, Alex.
Gillespie bombing forward there from right back.
I can't believe they're not showing the Rush round the corner again. Lovely, that.
Is he all right to say I quite like the Palace shirts?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, the belters, aren't they?
Decent kit, that.
Yeah.
Absolute belters.
Look how deep Rushy comes all the time, though.
Comes to get involved. Beardsley.
Nice.
He's trying the shuffle.
Yeah.
How good was Beardsley?
Boss.
He
really
doesn't get
good.
Talked about now, does he? Like Dalglish and Russian players like that. But every time I've seen clips of him, he looks amazing.
He suffers because before Dalglish, there was Keegan, and then there was Dalglish, obviously, and then Dalglish signs Paul Walsh. Paul Walsh did really well for Liverpool, but never quite managed to nail it down.
He had a little settling period, didn't he, Beardsley? But then he sort of really hit form where he was absolutely shit out. He came to Liverpool as the record signing as well in the country, 1.9 million, was
something
it?
Something like that.
It was him and Barnes came together, didn't he?
Yeah, Barnes, he was 900 grand.
He was the biggest signing, Beardsley, at the time.
Yeah. Beardsley was like the England star and all the rest of it.
I remember him in Match magazine, well, the annual, I think it was. Yeah. Maybe the annual.
He was brilliant, Beardsley, but he gets overshadowed by the players who came before him, and he gets overshadowed by Barnes in this team, so both are overshadowing him simultaneously, if you know what I mean. So he's not as good as Dalglish, and if you're those who go way back, I mean, you know, I never saw enough of Kenny, never mind Keegan, but people say he wasn't as good as Keegan, but he was still brilliant, so he was brilliant. If any other, I mean, it's worth remembering, was sent by somebody else who'd saw it. There's a Charlton Athletic all-time 11, and in Charlton Athletic's all-time 11 is John Barnes, when he played about 11 games for them when he was 85.
Yeah.
Because he was literally one of the best players that they'd ever seen. He got in their all-time 11. This fella just said the way in which he appreciated the game, the way in which he played the game was astonishing, and we saw him play 11 times. And we've got tons of these players, you know, who played for us. So if he plays for almost anyone else in the country, Beardsley's like...
Yeah, good players get lost in history, don't they? I mean, I think... I think Houghton's dead underrated. Like, no one ever talks about
Ray
Houghton.
Ray Houghton.
Yeah, but yeah, and he was good for us, and he was, you know, he was an important part of the squad and an important part of the team at the time. And
Neil Dawkins missed the opening goal. But he's going to sell himself.
Liverpool
down.
1-0 up, mate.
Yeah, 1-0, mate. 1-0. Beat all us.
Program sold out, mate. You're too late.
And you've obviously not won golden goal.
No.
Yeah, Hussein there heading it out. Yeah, Houghton was underrated.
Watch out for the fellas squeezing up to you there, mate. You know, just step out the way. It'll be, you know, they'll all be wanting the piss there. You know the old Pink Echo trick, don't you? For the people who don't know the Pink Echo trick, our fellas used to make tubes out of the Pink Echo and basically piss into the Echo on the cop, because it was a bit of a fucking effort to get in and out, to be honest, because it was chocker, because everyone was standing up. So you had the old Pink Echo trick, and you just sort of became aware of it. Sixth sense, you just knew when to move out the way. But you know, you did have to warn people who were on there for the first time. In fact, against Crystal Palace, not the 9-0, but I went to a Crystal Palace game once. I think we won 3-1 with some Crystal Palace fans that we'd like gone away. We went away with the school, and another school was away at the same time, and we like got mates with these people, and we were playing Palace that weekend. They ended up coming the game with us, and I forgot to warn them about the Pink Echo thing, and one of them ended up with piss all down his leg. Soz about that, mate. But you know, piss happens.
Against modern football.
Against modern football.
Great move again.
Against
from
modern bogs.
Back to front is Barnes.
Here's Barnes.
Barnes is in every time.
Great ball, Beardsley. No. Liverpool could already be 2 ahead. Oh, well, we've cut very directly there, haven't we, to a Crystal Palace replay.
This is a replay. It could have been a very different game, this, if that goes in, couldn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, the highlights of this are a bit mad. I'm not sure, like, the dissolves and all the rest of it that you do on Final Cut Pro these days.
No.
It's just like, fuck off, put a big slice in there.
Yeah. There's a fella pressing record and play.
Yeah.
And stop.
Yeah, some of this video as well might go a bit mad because, you know, the way we got it on YouTube was a bit new for us, isn't it?
I thought we were watching the whole 90.
No,
it's about 60, this.
About 60 minutes of highlights. Done well there, by the way, Mark Bright or Ian Wright. It was a very difficult problem at the time to work out which one was which.
So was Mark Bright actually a decent player then? Because I just know him as like the camp-voiced fella on the BBC.
He was a bit more workman-like than Wright, wasn't he? Wright was
the genius.
He was better.
Yeah, yeah.
McMahon.
I think I remember Mark Bright.
Look at that. McMahon's another one. We just keep going on about how underrated everyone was. I loved McMahon. Bosh player.
That's a fantastic goal.
It's a lovely goal.
It is a lovely goal. It's also a goal like, we're boss today, so I can just do this because we're going to batter these. Which I think happens. I think it happens in this game, but I think it happens in football matches sometimes when you realise, people. I think players get better when they realise that this is, we can just do whatever. And sometimes that can go too far the other way, I think, and people can get quite complacent.
For that ball from McMahon as
well. Lovely ball, and Barnes again.
Have you been?
That's a massive pen.
That's a pen.
He doesn't give it, does he?
He's not given that.
No, he doesn't give
that. I've forgotten that was a joke.
That is an outrageous piece of refereeing.
I think he was just. Do you know what I think it was on that? I think he was just so far behind the play because of Barnes' pace there.
That's fucked.
But yeah, it's definitely a pen, isn't it?
Okay. For that, he's given a corner.
I know. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
By the way, bit of love for that footy. That's a tango. What an absolute beauty of a footy. Yeah, there'd be more.
Example of what you've just been saying there, though, Neil, about like a player just or a team knowing that they can do whatever they want. Suarez against Norwich, every single time he played them.
Yeah. But
he'd get one and he'd think, right, I'm just going to start shooting from 45 yards. And they'd all go in because he was on it every single game.
You're sure that it's done. And I think that's an important thing. That when you just get that confidence as a football team, I think it's unreal.
Yeah. I was going to say, it reminded me of Sturridge against Everton. Do you remember when we smashed them? Like, That sort of audacious finish where he just thinks, why not?
Yeah, no, exactly. When you're sort of boxed, but there's a couple of games against Everton recently where we should have gone on and scored 8 or 9. That one's one, and
when
the one
the bar,
yeah,
4-0.
Yeah,
that could have been 10 if that goes in.
Exactly, and I think it can go too far the other way where it's almost just so easy everyone stops or tries to do too much.
Ian Skelly there on the advert, end of the M62.
Another great, not anymore.
Ooh, off the line.
Liverpool are absolutely rampant here. And you see the way in which they just sort of move. They appreciate well all the spaces on the pitch.
They know where each other are.
Yeah. Barnes, by the way, just like wanders away from people.
Have Barnes' shorts been everything you wanted, Sean?
And more.
There's someone who wasn't underrated, David Burrows. He was just all right and possibly bordering on not that good. And that's what everyone said about him.
At the time, yeah.
I think we're bad at that nowadays. Like, every single player we have has to be either, like, absolutely world-class.
There's no great.
Or shit in needs all. Yeah. No one can be like...
Just all
Joe Allen and Lucas are all right, aren't they? You've got to have, like, a mad polar opposite opinion about people.
What did the arm there, ref?
That's another great move. Jeff Thomas, though. I mean, Palace cannot live with Liverpool here. There's always a run around the corner.
Glenn Price, who sat in here watching and not with a microphone in front of him, he interviewed Jeff Thomas for the site in his early days as a young budding journalist when he was known as Glenn from The Office before he became ESPN Glenn. And he was all right, wasn't he, Glenn? So you spoke to him about
thumbs up for Glenn, yeah. for Jeff Thomas. Jeff Thomas and Glenn.
Got beat 9-0 by the Reds and was happy to still discuss it. You know. All these years later.
I think the 4-3 later on the season probably helps them in that regard.
Yeah, Pardew, you can fuck off.
And good attempt there from Nicol. And Andy Gray, the number four for Palace, who's come into shot a couple of times last few minutes. He was a good player. Remember him being, putting himself about and having quite a nice touch.
Didn't he used to wear a headband? Or am I thinking of someone else?
You're thinking of someone else. Eric Young is who you're thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, that is who I'm thinking of.
Palace team. John Solarco, was he in that?
Solarco isn't in this one yet.
He comes through later on.
Pardew's playing right mid as well, I think.
Should we do the Palace lineup? Should I do it like I've got stats? Because yeah. I have. Perry Suckling in goal.
Good lord.
John Pemberton, David Burke, Jeff Hopkins, Gary O'Reilly, Eddie McGoldrick, Alan Pardew, Jeff Thomas, Andy Gray, Mark Bright, Ian Wright.
The goalkeeper, this finished him, didn't it?
Suckling?
Yeah.
Yeah. That dropped down the leagues, didn't he? Never recovered from it, apparently. Yeah.
Mad name. Yeah. Perry Suckling.
Well, and also Nigel Martin was on the verge of coming through at Palace. I think by the time the semi-final comes, he's playing for them. Bit of a scrappy patch of play, really, now.
How old were you for this, Doc? And I've been asking everyone.
What was it, 1990?
1989.
89, I was...
September.
Seven. Just turned seven. I was living in
Ireland. These two weren't born.
I was living in Ireland at the time.
I remember I was a paper boy around this time, and I remember delivering the papers the day after this game.
You've always worked in papers, haven't
Cloud
you?
Cloud 9 on the front of the Echo.
Cloud 9?
Yeah. Pretty sure it was Cloud 9.
I was a paper boy as well.
I delivered to Stephen Gerrard's Road. That's me really shit. No. Claim to fame.
Did you ever see him?
Possibly. I didn't know he was Steven Gerrard.
Does really well there, Ian Wright. He was really lively, by the way, and scrapped through and left hand side. I remember that people were saying it was a bit of a Paul Walsh one, this, that Ian Wright played really well this game insofar as you could when you get battered 9-0 and you play centre forward.
This pass back stuff's mad, isn't it?
I was just going to say that's so strange, isn't it, seeing the pass back like that.
I can't believe the game of football lasted like 100 years before someone went, we're going to have to sort this, you know. This is a bit of a piss take, isn't it?
What do you make, I mean, because obviously I've seen this loads of times, but what do you make watching this for the first time of like the pace of the game compared to what we're seeing now?
It's weird because it's kind of like it's intense but not intense at the same time. Like when they attack, they go forward really quickly, but there's lots of it where they are just knocking it back to the goalkeeper and stuff, which because of the way like teams press and stuff now, you don't really get that time to just play with it in defence. So it's a little bit modern in a way, but then aside from like the state of the camera and that, you can also tell that it's from a bygone era.
Rushy would have been booked there, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Kicking the ball away on the free kick.
It's a good kit.
Diagonal.
Diagonal and the short stripe as well just sets it off perfectly. Looks like it's all.
Is this kind of a European type kit?
Yeah. Yeah.
They were much fancied, weren't they, this Palace team as well?
We said if you'd attended for the match on time, Neil.
Same as at the start of the 80s, though, wasn't it? They were much fancied at the start of the 80s, weren't they? And we smashed them then, I think, as well.
Was it them? I think
so. And at the 90s, I think they were. They started both decades, you know.
sort of with people talking about them. No, they got, we said before, they had some good players. They weren't mugs by any stretch of the imagination. It's one of the things that gets forgotten. For instance, the year when Wimbledon beat us in the FA Cup final, we're in here, by the way. The year Wimbledon beat us in the FA Cup final, Wimbledon finished seventh. Nicol Holmes scores the same goal again. Wimbledon finished seventh, and everyone acts like, oh, it was a huge, huge shock. So when they beat us 4-3 in the FA Cup, you know, they're in the same division as us, and they should be able to give us a game, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And everyone then acts like that's a massive shock, but that's because of the esteem we were held in.
Well, we haven't sorted it yet, you know, a way that we can have, like, the commentary and the mix. So Glenn's just had a good question there. He said via WhatsApp, what was the atmosphere like for these games these days? Thing is, you know, this atmosphere debate that's gone on forever, like, it wasn't always rocking by any stretch. There was loads of games where basically if it was shit or it was a bit boring, then the atmosphere wasn't that good. I mean, I can remember playing around this time, we played Wimbledon at home, and it was a grim game, and so was the atmosphere. It wasn't like we were like, you know, because we were all standing up on the cop, it was absolutely rocking or anything like that. It was, you know, up and down the way it often is these days as well.
What point in a game like this, though, would the crowd kind of know that we're on here, we've won, or this is, you know, we're playing for fun now? Like, how many goals do you have to score before the crowd would have been like...
Well, we were talking about before, saying, like, you know, you're almost here's another one, Rushy. We were talking about before, about, you know, we all knew how good Liverpool were then, and there was no sense of that this was going to be the season we won our last title for all these years, but... There was a little bit of taking it for granted. I mean, the win the league title, don't we, against the QPR? And I think that's right.
Oh, that's magic there, isn't it, from Beardsley?
From Beardsley, yeah. His feet were amazing.
That thing going.
But yeah, there's a lot of people who say that, you know, it was almost a bit, won another league, sound. Yeah.
I think I was at the Derby 4-0 when I was about seven, in 87, 88. And I think there was the moment when you realised, and I think it will already have happened in this game, when you realised Liverpool were brilliant this day. And that's the end of it. Liverpool are just going to be brilliant today. So they were brilliant. I mean, you know, you speak to Mike Nevin, and you speak to him about 87, 88, and Mike Nevin will tell you that the performance that defines it for him isn't Nottingham Forest, the 5-0. It's the Derby 4-0, when we supposedly their Chilton in goal, he was man of the match. Honestly, he made about 15 great saves, and Liverpool won the game 4-0. And this here, you know, we've been brilliant. That's half-time, by the way. That's the half. There is this sort of, look, you can see there, you know, people are aware of the fact that they're watching. They are aware that they're watching great footballers. You know, they're not apologetic about it. And shifting along, here's the second half.
Big fan of all, like, the proper retro flags and banners in the crowd there as well. Like,
there's good just, that red, that
the,
white,
just
yeah.
The stripes. I mean, we don't have yellow in there anymore ever as well, I guess, because the badges changed and stuff. But it's nice that there's, like...
How many's in the card? 35,000
of this.
Was that normal then, to not sell out?
It's a midweek game as well.
35,779. I mean, you know,
what football that is.
I went to I remember going to a League Cup game the season after this, and there was only 17,000 there. You know, so it didn't. Those games where it was nowhere near selling out.
It's Ozil, isn't it? Everyone goes on about as being like a boss game with a boss atmosphere, but it wasn't even half full.
Yeah, that's right. There's about 17, 18. I don't know, maybe it was in low 20s, maybe, I think. Hawks, yeah.
Gary Gillespie trotting back to right back there. Not that you'd have known from where he's been popping up on the pitch so far.
It's interesting that it was only 3-0 at half time. You know, thinking about what Klopp's been talking about recently and how we've sort of let our foot off the gas.
Oh, yeah. Sound a bit mad there, aren't it? I told you some of it might be a bit mad, and I was right to point that out. Oh, this is boss.
I think it
recovers and goes back normal soon.
Is it speeding up Palace so we can watch Liverpool again?
I'd like to think so. But Palace are having a little spell again here. Palace keep having little spells, and it's worth... The other thing to point out as well, in terms of discussing the attendance, is obviously they've got their ends that they won't have brought anywhere near the numbers that, you know, sides bring now for away games, certainly for a midweek game from London.
Tuesday night, this game.
Imagine bit of a the train back to London after that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
are we at? Oh, and now we're in slow motion.
Yeah, it's choosing its own speed. This video just all adds to it, doesn't it? You know,
very much does.
I can tell my story here, can't I? About this video. You know, some time back when we were doing the Anfield Apps digital mag, I said I'd like to write about this game, but you know, almost sort of watch it again. all the way through, or 60 minutes of it, and just sort of almost like write like a match report on it of what it's like. So I thought I had a copy of the game, and it turns out I didn't, or it was a videotape that I got chewed up. So I put a little appeal out on Twitter, just said, has anyone got the 9-0 on video still? And a fella come back to me and he said, yeah, they are, I've got it. And he was this taxi driver in Skim. So I went and met him, and it was mad. We met on like a motorway bridge. Felt like it was doing like some big deal or something, you know what I mean? And like, you know, like that it was going to be on top with the busies and
Sam Allardyce.
it felt dead mad, and I was thinking, if the busies did come along now, and I said, I'm just getting a video of the 9-0 meter. You know, it's not very convincing, is it? You know what I mean? So yeah, there's a story behind. That's the story behind this, and I went back to him actually, you know, when we'd finished with it and all the rest. I said, do you want it back? And he was like, nah, you're all right, mate. You keep it. I like the Anfield app. You can have me 9-0 video. So little tale of it there. It's still in our office.
It's still very much in slow motion.
Yeah, it's going mad. I think it does go. I think it does recover again.
It's like football Baywatch.
Yeah, it just needs a theme tune, doesn't it?
Whelan's been great, by the way, so far. I think Whelan doesn't score. Am I right, Robbo?
Let's have a look. Whelan doesn't score.
How many scorers are there?
Eight different scorers. Whelan's one who doesn't score. The goalkeeper, Whelan and Burrows. Nicol gets two. And Hansen, sorry, also doesn't score because Aldridge scores. He comes off the bench to score. Brucey there looking very moody indeed.
It's
in slow motion.
Aldridge's
last match, yeah. He's going to Real Sociedad. And everyone knows pre-match he's going to Real Sociedad. It's no surprise.
Bench.
He's on the bench. It isn't as though it's going to come as a surprise to anybody.
Is Liverpool to Real Sociedad as big a step down in theory in 1989 as it is in 2016? Or is that a bit less of a big
it's
deal?
A bit less of an obvious... It's a step... I think it will probably be perceived as a step down, but it's also the era where English sides couldn't play in Europe.
Yeah.
So Rush would at least get the opportunity of playing European football. I think we've gone back to normalish pace.
Is that when John Toshack was it?
Yeah.
Sociedad.
I think Toshack was there.
I think what was interesting about that as well, I mean, apart from the various stories that come out as to why it was, and, you know, there's obviously some kind of fallout between Kenny and Aldo. It doesn't really take any kind of genius to work that out, but what was interesting, it's still kicking about on YouTube if you look it up, is Aldo done an interview just with, like, you know, the equivalent of Granada reports, if you like, and he was nearly in tears, like, and like, you know, say what you like about him, and there's a goal
off a corner,
yeah, Gillespie scoring with another
celebration, by the way. Is he going to do it? Is this the one where he does the celebration?
Just a few shaking hands. He's done a fish punch. Yeah, the Aldo interview's well worth a look. He's in tears. He really means it, and he is genuinely gutted that he's having to leave Liverpool, and that obviously comes across in the goal celebration and what happens afterwards a bit later on in this game. 4-0 up now, the Reds.
That looked really well worked, that corner. Yeah, with Barnes, was it Barnes flicking it back?
Yeah, was a good corner routine.
Have you said that's a record? You probably have. I wasn't here. 8 different scorers.
No, not yet.
It's a record.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
It was a massive deal. I mean, Palace are still playing here, to be fair to them. You know, they haven't. I think it's important to Palace. Palace really haven't just sort of packed up and gone, what's the point of this now?
Who's the Palace manager at this point? Is there anyone weird now?
Steve Coppell.
Oh, all right.
Steve Coppell was always their manager, wasn't he? Like, on and off, it felt, for years, wasn't it?
Got to be one.
Another great ball by Whelan.
One of the few Scousers to play for Man United. I like checking out the old billboards here.
Where did you Phil Thompson Pine.
Yeah, Phil Thompson's Pine there, yeah.
I like the writing on them. The writing looks...
Oh, poor Perry Suckling. He doesn't do anything wrong there, but it's a corner given against him.
If you can hear a bit of drilling, by the way, there's a bit of work going on the restaurant below us, one of them, innit?
Yep.
Yeah, right on cue. Look at the old school hats in the crowd, by the way. Boss them. Someone's dressed as Where's Wally there as well. Has it been out of the dentist, this?
Oh, what a challenge.
Just make sure, doesn't he? he's ending that move before it even begins. That counter there, McMahon.
Wheeler and McMahon were like the Alonso and Mascherano of like our day, weren't they?
Yeah, like the
anchor of the team.
Yeah, yeah. No, Whelan sat in, but Whelan, you've already seen him do marauding runs forward, and I didn't even remember myself him doing this many marauding runs forward. But one of the mad things about Whelan is he started off as left mid, and he moves in 87. Can he move him to centre mid? So he's got all the tools of a left mid. He was a hugely energetic left mid. It's not entirely dissimilar to what sort of gone on with Henderson this season, in the sense of the fact that he suddenly becomes the deepest lion. And he just has to deal with it, and he does. And McMahon pushes on much more. So everyone sort of, because McMahon did more sort of obvious big tough tackling. Everyone sort of remembers McMahon as more of a defensive midfielder, or a lot of people do, not everyone. But he was actually the one who was a bit more box to box.
Weighed in with a few goals,
and he weighed in with a fair few goals. Whereas Whelan just sat in at this point, but he's not sitting in that much here because he didn't just sit in. He did low. He still liked to play his football.
We weren't afraid to play it long, were we?
No.
Mix it up quite a lot from what we've seen.
There's an advert update, by the way, Sean. There's an advert there for your Dars trainees, Nick's.
I actually have a story about Nick's trainers.
Go on.
When I was, this is really quite embarrassing, but when I was at school, my mum would have things. We go to the market, we go to Rotherham Market, and she'd go be like, can only get...
Sorry, basically score, but it's alright, it's 5-0, that's sort of game, keep talking. There's going to be another one in a minute.
You can only get like the cheap trainers, so I got a pair of like the baseball boots version of Nick's Flight, and a lad in the year above made up a song about them. And I can still remember the song now. So thankfully there was a weekend when my dad was the one that took me shopping, and I got a pair of nice trainers, and it was all alright, but that... There was an actual song about my Nick's Flight trainers.
We need another song. You can't tease us like that and then be...
I couldn't do it justice, but I can tell you the lyrics.
Go on,
It was something along the lines of, it was just another day with Nick's Flight on my feet, and the feet was a really long sort of... It was a...
So it was rough from Rotherham round then, wasn't it?
They were moody trainees, Nick's. Like, I mean, I remember lads in our school having them, and they got absolutely destroyed. And no, that wasn't me. That wasn't it. I mean, it was hard work to get my mar and dad to buy me some decent trainees, but you just had to have them, or you got absolutely killed in our school. So, yeah, Nick's, you're out while they're at them, Sean. What score are we on here?
5-0. 5-0. It's just a good touch. Beardsley, by the way, has just linked it up brilliantly here today. I mean, obviously everyone plays well. I mean, the other thing I would say is that all these lads will have had bad games, but when you obviously watch a 9-0, they all look like they're phenomenal. But Beardsley's been great, just linking it up, doing little bits.
But it's not that Palace are crap. It's that Liverpool are dead good in this game.
Yeah.
Beardsley's dropping a lot deeper than I ever imagined he would be as well. Like, he's picking the ball up on his side of the centre circle sometimes. Yeah. Whereas I was expecting to be like on the edge of the box on like the shoulder of the defender and stuff.
There's the things that we said about, I mean, like, everyone goes mad now about, the pressing and all that, and as though it's almost like a new thing. But Rushy's just going through there and shout for a pen. But look where Rush is on the pitch a lot of the times, right? He's all over the show, and he was great at the pressing. He led the press for this Liverpool side. It's not a new thing.
Yeah, people now are like criticising Sturridge for dropping too deep, aren't they? But Rush is doing it.
Exactly. I know, but also they're all interchanging position all the time as well. And again, everyone talks as though, by this point, you've got the Holland 88 team, and there's been obviously the Ajax team of 74. But Liverpool players, by about the early 70s, they were encouraged to be able to all play in different positions, to be able to swap around, to be able to do each other's jobs, to know the roles within the team and to link up. And a lot of it, because it's not, no one ever wrote a coaching handbook, in that sort of sense, because that wasn't what they were about. They were about sort of actually just doing the coaching and saying a couple of sentences here and there to improve the footballers and get them playing.
Well, when we did that night with Barnes, he said then, didn't he, about like they just worked a lot of it out, didn't they, themselves almost. They knew the strengths of each other, of the teammates and what they could do on the pitch, and a lot of that sort of interchanging and moving around in position he just worked it out, he said.
And he got, but I think the one thing that he always says, though, and that they all always say, and this reminds me, you remember when we spoke to Damien Hughes?
Yeah.
And he talked about throwing balls and all that sort of stuff, and coaching in short sentences. They all used to, they all say how they'd be coached with short set, with quiet words, so, or someone would just tell you something, what, and, but it wouldn't, it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be a long...
It wasn't a big sit-down with video of or all this madness
just
now.
Enough information.
A little word, yeah.
And I think that when everyone says, what's the secret? I think the secret was that it was just loads of fellas who knew what little word to say all the time.
Yeah.
And not to batter the players' heads, but simultaneously to that were genuinely making them better players and making them tactically more switched on.
Well, I remember, I interviewed Barry Venice once, and I remember him talking about being at Liverpool, and he said the same, and he said you knew yourself when you'd had a good or a bad game. You knew yourself when you'd done things wrong and done things right. And he said often, as you've just said, it only took a couple of words from someone. And he said often that wasn't always the manager; it'd just be someone on the pitch saying, like, you know, Barry, you know,
yeah,
and that'd be it.
By the way, of our three penalty claims, that's arguably the weakest.
I think we just mounted them up, didn't we? And he had to give one in the end. This is where Aldo comes on, isn't it? Yeah, there he is.
He brought him on to take the pen.
Yeah, because everyone was singing his name. Don't know how much he was going to do it anyway, or whether the singing is of his name influences it. But yeah, little slap on the arse from McMahon there.
And from Barnes.
First touch.
Can't ask for more than that, can you?
You couldn't ask for more than that, Neil.
You'd be made up with that, wouldn't you?
Imagine that happened tonight to you.
Oh, I'd be made up. I'd talk about it for years.
Yeah. That Friday night, we got out of hand, and before I knew where it was, Barnes, he was slapping my arse. Aldridge penalty.
See the little stutter there, lad?
What you did to that robot?
Like me, I'd soccer X that lad.
Just going back to what you were saying a minute ago, it seems to me like looking back at old interviews with players, and if you read old sort of quotes from Paisley and Shankly even, that they sort of deliberately played down everything they did behind the scenes and made it sound like it was so simple, like they didn't want to give anything away. It seems like a lot of the players even now still stick to that, like the Stevie Nicol interview you did the other day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it must have been some really complicated coaching going on. There may have been short words involved, but tactically... We were ahead of our time for years, but
I think that's all. I think it's all intuitive. Like it is. I think it is quite. You know, when we it's 78 final, which is we should probably do on one of these at some point if you can find the 78 final footage. Liverpool win 1-0, but they murder Bruges, and Paisley plays Highway in a floating role.
Is there Pam?
In a floating role behind the front two. So he plays a centre mid three, and Highway can go where he wants when you watch the game. And that's, you know, when in an era where everyone played, certainly in England, quite rigid football, Paisley's basically playing 4-3-1-2 and Highway's got this free role. But I'm sure, as Robbo's saying there, you know, Highway's not, you know, he's not sitting him down and telling him for an hour what he wants from him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just finding other ways to gently make it clear in the run-up to the game.
Jeff Thomas. It's a fucking awful pen, isn't it? Do you remember when Jeff Thomas played for England and he had a shot?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's one of the worst shots I've ever seen. It surely exists on YouTube.
Very much so. Skinner and Badil had a lot of fun with it, I think.
It was like, you know, he hits a shot, like sort of facing the goal, and somehow goes out for a throw somewhere, and it's worse than that penalty, to be honest.
Very Serginio, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or Charlie Adam in a League Cup final.
Yeah.
Still hasn't come back down.
You feel like Barnes, he's played in second gear here, by the way. And still doing things like this.
In fact, the next goal is the best. Speaking of Barnsley, not going to spoil the surprise, but it's an absolute belter.
Is that right again?
How quick, Rob? I'll get it.
A few times he nearly gets in, doesn't he, with his pace? He's already like 26 now, isn't he?
He's weird, isn't he?
Someone sent us a tweet, and it was a good shout as well. You know, there was a question on Wildcard the other day about what player from a previous Liverpool era would you drop into the current Liverpool side because it would really suit the play. And I think Kibbo went with Rushy, didn't he? What else was there? I can't remember.
I went with McManaman.
You went with McManaman. But this lad was saying, he said, I'll tell you what to shout, Grobbelaar.
Yeah, it's a great shout.
Because, you know, all this talk about what Klopp wants Karius to do, as you just said, Sean, you know, Grobbelaar was absolutely brilliant at the distribution and just being fast and starting an attack and spotting the runs. He was great at that. I mean, sometimes his decisions to come out were a bit mad.
He was one of the only keepers that scored as well, wasn't he? He scored when he played for Crewe. from the penalty area.
I didn't know the opposite
penalty area.
He just kept his run going or something?
No, I think it was just a really long... Yeah.
There's something in... Yeah, I mean, the Grubbelaar's matter. You think about Grubbelaar for a second again, when we talk about what managers do now. We talked about it on the 81-82 show, but Liverpool buy Grubbelaar from Vancouver in Canada, and then they sell Ray Clements, who's a Liverpool legend, and genuinely could be Liverpool's greatest ever goalkeeper. Paisley replaces him with Bruce Grubbelaar, and just does it one summer. And he buys Grubbelaar, I think, in the April, and he sells Grubbelaar and he sells Clements in the summer, and then Grubbelaar's first choice. And Grubbelaar's terrible for 3 months, but he sticks with him, and Liverpool come good and all that sort of stuff. But it's more, he just wanted a different type, he decided he wanted a different type of goalkeeper. So he doesn't go and get, for instance, someone like Peter Shilton or Workout, who's really good. He basically gets this lad in who's mad, who keeps goal in this mad way.
I think it's better to know that he's going to be mad and come for everything than be so indecisive like some keepers are now.
Yeah. Barnes
is skinning everyone.
He's
yeah.
torturing them there, really, isn't he?
McMahon just like, nah, you have it back, Barnes, because you know you're boss.
Doing a good job with you there.
Doing yourself Gillespie.
Shit, that lad.
Centre half coming in his left foot.
Did we get Beardsley from Canada as well?
No, but he did. We got Beardsley from Newcastle.
Yeah.
I know he played over there, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe the Canada were having a big go at something.
It's a bit mad, isn't it?
On United's box, Beardsley.
Yeah, before he went to Canada. Yeah. Dickheads.
United's Phil Everton. It's quite a trifecta, isn't it?
Yeah. Three of them.
That's why I told Josh, we should get an interview with him. What happened with that lad? That's another mad shot, by the way.
The control that they've all got of the ball is mad. It basically sticks to them, but at the same time, it's bobbling everywhere. Because like the pitch looks all right, but then when you look a bit closer, it's never ever still when they're running with it. It's not like carpet like it is now. There's all mad little divots in it and stuff. So it's.
And by the way, the tops of our socks are phenomenal.
Is this the same season as the lovely silver grey away?
I think we might have been in the silver grey away around then, yeah.
Yeah, grey and red, yeah.
Yeah, got kits about right, didn't we? McMahon.
I think I've got a great team picture from this season with the silver grey kits. You know, like an old Shoot magazine one. Had up on my wall.
Look, Timo's coming. We're going to do an AFQ in the minute, and he's wearing a
retro Adidas track.
Yeah, with a lovely bit of grey on.
Looks the part.
I've still got that grey kid. Doesn't feel good. Yeah. Bit of a weird lull here between 6 and 7.
Yeah, it's worth the wait.
Feeding it back to Suckling, whose name you can't say enough.
I'm kind of feeling sorry for him.
Perry Suckling?
Yeah.
Well, because of his name.
Because he's just like having 9 goals go past him.
Well back.
I know, what you reckon was worse for him, this? Getting beat 9-0 at Anfield or the first day of secondary school?
Feels like you should always say something after his name's been said as well. You know what I mean? Perry Suckling. Is he, yeah?
Still in the game. Wikipedia tells me he's currently academy manager for Queen's Park Rangers.
Who, Perry?
Yeah, Perry.
Well in, lad.
It's very...
Who's the ref here?
Oh, hang on.
The ref's from Coventry.
Barrett. Keith Barrett.
Keith Barrett from Coventry, yeah.
Do you know everyone who's ever done anything from Coventry?
Yeah, pretty much.
We had Davey Trommel on a show the other day, you know, Coventry legend.
Yeah.
We had a chat about Coventry. I nearly got a job for Coventry City Football Club, you know.
You did?
Yeah, oh, programme editor. Got down to the last three.
Whelan's desperate to score here. Comes out. Nickel. Man, how's this not gone in? Rushy's bouncing around Rushy as well. But Barnes' way to pass, Sean, you mentioned it, but you were clocking it before. His way to pass is unreal, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't have him down for that either. I thought he was more like an athlete, like someone like Bale is now, but he's a proper footballer, isn't he, Barnes?
Yeah, he's... around the same period, there's Laudrup as well in Barcelona. The way to just like being able to play these passes so that they're absolutely perfect for people to run into.
Like that.
And again,
like
then, that, yeah. Outside of the boot.
The boots are nice.
Black boots, old school. None of this orange, luminous, blue, green. Wallow latch on.
Timo's just told me the Pink Echo did something on this game, and each picture had like the clock in the corner of when the goal came, which I sort of remember it, but I might be imagining.
I remember
it.
That.
Right again there, battling through. Bright hasn't been in it anywhere near as much.
Barnes is central a lot, isn't he? A lot of these attacks as well.
All the time.
Is Barnes the best use I've ever seen? And
got to be up there. Like, I mean, I started going regularly.
He's got a shout after that.
There's stages of Barnes, isn't there? There's two Barneses. There's the Barnes before his injury, and there's the Barnes after his injury. Totally different Barneses, but both good Barneses. But the first one was the best. The explosive boss Barnes. You could just do anything.
And this is the season after we sell Aldridge. I think either Rush or Beasley gets an injury, and Barnes plays up front.
Yeah.
And I think he does something mad, like scores 26 goals in his Footballer of the Year. Loads of them headers. He basically just goes and becomes the best centre forward in the league. That's the thing he does next.
Yeah, I watched this though. This is just fucking sublime. It's the most nonchalant free kick you'll ever see in your life, and it's fucking brilliant. Big Jan, loved him as well. Here he is. He's having a look. Barnsley. Just going to do a boss free kick here, lads. All right, Sean, go ahead, John. Yeah, what about that? Sand. All right, that one.
Nice wave to the cop.
Cool as fuck. What a guy.
Just one step. Just unreal,
isn't
it?
Absolutely boss. Look at it. See you later, lad. Save that. Nah.
It is actually... I mean, he's not done anything wrong there, Suckling. It's just too good.
Man, they're like my family, sort of half no Barnes, and I used to play footy with him in the garden when I was a kid, just not knowing who he was at all. And I'm watching this, it's mad. Like.
I think I haven't seen that goal, it's this game, but my uncle tells me a story that he took his nephew to, I assume it was this game, in fact, and Liverpool were playing brilliant. But his nephew was complaining and feeling dead sick. So towards like the end of the second half, he had to take him down to see the St. John's ambulance, and that he sent him back up, gave him whatever, and sent him back up. And as they came back up, that had just gone in. So he missed it. Missed one of like Barnes' greatest ever goals.
Nicol.
So we're on 80-odd minutes here. Liverpool are 7-0 up. And look, they're still all over them. They're still having a go. You know, if you were Palace, you were thinking, come on, lads.
Yeah, stop this.
Jibby, you have won.
How many subs have you made? Is it the two?
Yeah, he's Aldridge and Baldy.
Bringing Molby and Aldridge off the bench, that's like... People don't talk about a squad game so much back then, but... Must have had a job keeping those sort of players.
Rushy's hold-up play again there.
Barnes ball that, by the way. Outside of his left foot down the line, absolutely perfectly paced.
It was rotation, I think, at this point. Like with Aldridge and Rush to swap, or was it just Rush and that's it?
I think it's funny, I mean, Robbo will remember a bit better than me. I think Kenny
did mad things.
Kenny did mad things, and people just always find
like played about six centre halves at a hybrid once.
And he did, like, 85, 86, he would change it a fair bit when he first came in, and it was a big deal. It like it wrecked a few heads. And there's Mike Nevin's book, it's in the office, it's really worth reading. Mike Nevin and Gary Shaw's book, it's really good because it actually takes the letters from the Echo at the time, which was the equivalent of, you know, your 606 or an internet forum or something. Glenn Hussain, by the way, makes it eight and is made up, because I think that could be his first goal for Liverpool.
So, it was like Big Sammy, that was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great header.
It is his first goal for Liverpool.
All the writing into the Echo was like, Kenny, why won't he just settle down? Why won't he just pick one team and settle with it? Mm. And I think he was sort of conscious of keeping people fit in the way in which, because he was himself, I think, about 34 at that time. And then later on, when you get into sort of 87, 88, you know, he does chop and change a bit more than I think probably a lot of other managers would have done, is what I'm saying. So it's not like it's a proper, you know, a rotation thing. It's just like, yeah, he just made a few changes here and there, yeah, because he was he was really clever. I mean, he's a great manager.
People used to like slag Benitez all the time for it, didn't they? Thought, it must have happened before 2008 rotation.
Yeah.
He's not. Rafa didn't invent this. Must have been happening when Liverpool were winning league titles all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean the 78-79 team, they only played in like 14 players all season, and it's like it is the 11 is the 11. Yeah. But by the time of Kenny's making a few. Like, but I think it's Kenny. I think it could well be Dalglish who's one of the first to do it, genuinely, when he comes in 85-86. Because when he started, like, for instance, he played three at the back in 85-86. He used to play Moby sweeper, genuinely, as a proper sweeper. And he used to do stuff like that. So, but he wouldn't do it every game. Like, so, for instance, if we were coming up against a side who had two big lads up front and they were just going to play dead direct football, then he'd play Moby as a sweeper and have two in front. So Moby would just pick up the bits and they'd try and win the physical battles. So he used to, but so that he would be rotating and dropping people in and out.
Bright sky him on there.
Yeah, I mean, there is a question, by the way, as to why you've got Geoff Thomas on the pens if you've got Ian Wright in the team.
I know. Did he actually say in the commentary of this about how much Liverpool had been linked to Wright at the time? Remember that?
How long after this did you sign for Arsenal?
Don't know. I
can't remember off the top of my head.
Plays in the cup final, doesn't he? The one that went to a replay.
Yeah.
Good run there.
Man United one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their home kit was great as well, the blue and red vertical striped.
I think it's 91. It says here, September 91 is when he goes to Arsenal. Oh, it's gone dead fast again. That's Gray. That's Andy Gray. Told you he was good. I'm glad he's done that. But just my earlier words, when he was a good player, him.
Stated against the keeper, lad.
Yeah, but he does that to Glenn Hussain, and you know, not many do that to Glenn Hussain in 89-90. Loads do it in 1991.
Nicol. What happens in 1991? So why does this team not win the league? What happens to it after?
Well, they're all, Hansen's 33 at this point.
Yeah. Quite a lot of them are cracking on a bit.
Yeah, they're all, I mean, there's a game. In fact, we'd love to do it on this, but we can only find a 15-minute video. Me and Robert watched it in the Pen Factory. Do you remember that 5-4 against Leeds?
That's, yeah.
It's the maddest game, isn't it?
Yeah. It's absolutely off its head. It's great.
Because we go 4-0 up, we go to Ellen Road and go 4-0 up, and I think Leeds either win the league that season or win the league the season after, so they're not crap. And we just murder them, but then they all get shattered. And that happens. And then also in 1991, Kenny is finished, sort of like he's exhausted because of the aftermath of Hillsborough and...
Yeah, there's the 4-all with Everton and all that.
So Kenny goes, and then Kenny's replaced by Souness, and a lot of these lads need to... And Kenny's last few signings aren't very good. Like, you know, Kenny's just done in, and a lot of his last few signings aren't great. So Souness then inherits an agent squad, and then Souness sells the wrong players of the lads who are agents. So Gillespie's 30, 31, Beardsley's 30, 31. Well. And yeah, then he buys
a load of shite, sells Beardsley.
Yeah.
Staunton.
Paul Stewart.
It's mad that Nicky like, such a quick change can then Nicol subsequently lead to 26
years. Is Nicol getting a second?
Yeah, it's hard. But yeah, I think at this point, I think, you know, you could go through here and get the sort of average age of the side, but, you know, I think at this point... Have you got it? What's the average age of the side?
I'll have a look. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. So Nichols finishes the job off here, drives.
Average age of the Liverpool starting lineup for this game was 28.39. Have that.
And probably the youngest who's probably started that game, when he says it's 28.39, the youngest player on the pitch is probably David Burrows, who I think if you asked us which one was the crappest, we'd say David Burrows. And the two lads who come off the bench, Aldridge and Moby, you know, they're not young lads either, you know, so.
Aldo was going anyway.
Aldo was going, and Mulby's been there since 84, I think.
It's a balancing act, though, isn't it? Experience wins your league titles, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm. That kicks it long.
I went to a sportsman's dinner with Jan Mulby once. He was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Really interesting character. You know, all the time he spent at Ajax, you know, Cruyff, and he's got so many mad tales.
Did he tell you that thing that Cruyff had them doing, where they had to stand on the halfway line? They got a pass like drilled into them, and they allowed one touch, and then you had to hit the corner flag at the other end of the pitch.
And could he do it? Like,
and he could do it, yeah.
Mad. he tells this crazy story about Cruyff signing this mad contract where he got a share of the gate receipts because they couldn't afford to bring him back, Ajax. And they didn't realise
that's old school, that, though, you know, because I interviewed Roger Hunt and he had something like that. Yeah. Like, if they basically, so if they put in a good performance in one game and it meant the gate went up the next time, they got a bit of dough.
Yeah, and basically they end up like playing amazing football with him running the show, win the league. The attendance is huge. They end up paying him like a fortune, which they never expected. And then when they come to renegotiate, they're like, we don't want to give you that anymore. He sees his arse, and then I think he decides to join Feyenoord. And I think last game of the season, obviously bitter rivals, the last game of the season, he like gets off at half time, just strips off, gets in the jacuzzi, smoking a cigar. Manager's like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, it's going to come out on the radio that I'm joining Feyenoord, I'm not going back out. And like, it was announced apparently during the game. People are throwing, bricks off the terraces. Absolutely. Just madness.
I wouldn't be going back out either. People throwing bricks.
No. But he's great, Jan. Best thing was, I got a picture of him with my mate, this lad called Chano, I've known for ages. And just the way they took the photo, just a bad angle. My mate Chano looks fatter than Mulvey on the picture. And I'm glad I've got this in. I'm going to get him to listen to the show.
Yeah, he's slaughtered on Chano,
Because like, it's just the best thing ever. There you are, looking fatter than the fattest footballer ever.
Hansen's just decided to go past
amazing
three.
Run, that was that Hansen from centre half? Yeah.
Just decided to go past three.
This is like 90th minute when you're a million goals up.
Yeah, imagine watching. Imagine being Crystal Palace and watching Hansen go just saunter past you there.
Well, like saying they're sort of an older team, but they don't look that tired. I mean, obviously, like helps that you win.
Yeah,
and that's it. It's all over. 9-0 to Liverpool Football Club. See you later, Palace.
There's Aldo. So.
And there's Aldo now. Goes down to his ballies. Tell you what, look at the scrap with his shirt.
Someone's lost a tooth in that, haven't they? Yep. Here we are.
That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's been the big match. Hope you've enjoyed it. As ever, with everything that we do, we want feedback. I told you Cloud9 was involved as a headline. It's just come up on the screen there. As ever, everything we do, we'd love your feedback on the website, via Twitter, via Facebook, via Instagram, via YouTube, we're everywhere us. Let us know what you think, let us know whether you want us to do more, suggest games, if you can find sort of 60 plus minutes highlights of old games on YouTube, save us the work, point them out to us, and we'll do another one of these big matches. I think it's always good to get people around the table who are from different eras and maybe haven't seen games like this before and have the chat. So
it's also annoying me that me and you have been the two oldest.
I know,
and this one, normally you've got like Nevin or Mac or Gutman, and they do all the stuff when Sean says, so what was he like? And I'm something in there. I think I'm a bit full of shit here, but you know, we'll see.
Well, to be fair, you kept going, well, Robbo's older than me, like, and so thanks for that. But that has been the big match, and thanks to everyone who's taken part. And like I say, hope you enjoyed it, and please let us know either way. Cheers.